Yeah, probably not. Looking forward to Christmas. Anybody? Christmas shopping done? Nah, never. Not for me. This message this morning, it's about faith, and I want to share a story, and this isn't a faith story, but this is a stepping out story. Years ago, I was in a fraternity. I was a young man in Sigma Pi fraternity in Rochester, New York. I was with some buddies of mine, and we decided to have a weekend out, and we went to a state park, and as we were at that state park, we walked across a bridge. That bridge was over a river. And when you looked down, the river was, it was about 60 feet down. And so I'm walking with my two best buddies. The conversation goes, "Hey, do you think we can jump?" And being dumb and stupid that we were, we chose to stand on the edge of that bridge. Now, you look at each other as you stand on that bridge, and the question is, who's going to jump first? Never been here, never saw anybody jump before, don't know how deep the river is. We're standing there on the bridge, and yours truly jumped. I jumped. I went. It's an interesting place. As you fall, knowing I have no idea what's in the river, how deep the river is, where am I going to go, what's going on here, I jumped. Well, the minute I bobbed up out of the water, my other two buddies jumped. True faith is a lot like that. You're jumping off into something that you don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know how deep the water is. You don't know what the end result will be, but you're choosing to do something just because. I want you to examine where your faith is at today, where you are in that regards, where you are in your faith walk. It's interesting because I went back to that bridge about 10 years after that. Went back to that bridge, and somebody said, "Are you going to jump?" I had two kids by then. "Do you think I'm jumping?" "No chance." I looked at it. I've been in the water. I've jumped from here. I ain't doing this again. It's amazing what having children does to that sense of fearlessness. It disappeared. The same question could be said, if God asks me to go somewhere else today, would I be willing? Would I be willing to give up my job with LAUSD, give up the salary that I get? Would I be willing to move my wife and I someplace somewhere else? Could God say, "Hey, I want you to move to Peru." I don't know why I chose Peru, but I just did. Would I go? Do I have the faith to make those changes within the context of my life? Do I believe when God speaks to me that I need to follow what He says? I thought it would get easier the older I got. It's not easier. It's not easier to walk in faith. It's always got a difficulty to it. I'd like you to get to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed in God's command, so that what is seen was made not from what is visible." Man has spent a whole lot of time trying to prove how the earth was created. We just sent a rover to Mars. Why? We want to know how the earth was created, so we're sending a rover to Mars. I'm I'm not sure how that works, except the science says if this planet is similar, maybe we'll have an idea how things are. Man has been trying to prove how Earth was formed for years and years and years. We got all kinds of science out there. I take by faith that God made it. That's all it is for me. It's by faith. I can't prove it. I got no proof whatsoever. I cannot offer you scientific proof that the earth was formed by God. I can't do it. I was not there. I'm not quite that old. I don't know anybody who was there. But by faith, I choose to believe that. Not because I can prove it, but because I trust God within the context of this enough to say that God made it out of nothing. And for the other side of this, I've never seen something come from nothing. Never seen it happen. Okay? I've been working on a 71 Ford pickup over the course of this week. Okay? I needed to put an intake manifold in it. I needed to put a new carburetor in it. I needed to put all those parts together in the car. I went to the store and I bought an intake manifold. I didn't go up to the car and say, "Whoop, here's the new intake manifold, open my hands and it plopped in." That didn't happen. Because I don't know how to make something from nothing. I can't just say, "Okay, I need an intake manifold, just there you go, put it right there." Now I have to go to the store, I have to go buy it, I have to go get it, and I have to go bring it in, put it in, put all the, you never mind. There's all kinds of stuff that goes in. I don't, by faith, put in my intake manifold. But I do believe that God made the earth by faith. I do believe by faith that God gave me, myself, the breath of life. I do believe by faith that God made man. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man who spoke when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. I don't know the difference significantly between Abel and Cain's offering. Do you know that God was pleased with one and God was not pleased with the other? I will tell you that the one he was not pleased with did not react well. And it kind of says a lot to the heart of who he was. When you give an offering to God, it has to be done through faith. When you give an offering to the Lord, when you choose to give something to God, it has to be done through a faith-based issue within your context with God. As you're talking with God and God asks for something, are you willing to give that something? Had a conversation recently, because I'm not sure where this is going. I have a car that I spent a lot of time with, a lot of time on. It came out really well. I really like this car. This car is a really cool car. And I've been having conversations within my head about, could this car do something better for somebody? Could this car be useful for somebody? Could this car be something more than it is for me? For me, it's a shiny object. It's a wonderful shiny object. It's kind of cool to go down the street and enjoy this shiny object. However, is the shiny object what God wants for me? Or is it something different? Or does it need to be something different? Does it need to have something different? I have to travel by faith. I have to look by faith and go, hey, is this something that I need to look at differently? So traveling by faith is an interesting process. When you give your offering, when you travel with your offering, how do you deal by faith? Go a little farther here in the issues of faith. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. For some of us, there's a struggle there. Do you earnestly seek him? Do you draw close to him every day? When you get up in the morning, do you think about how you're going to serve God today? Is your faith focused on what you're doing today and how it pleases the Lord? Or is your day focused on how to take care of you? See, there's a difference between Enoch and us most of the time. Enoch's focus was to serve the Lord. Enoch's focus was to do whatever God wanted him to do. And God was so pleased with him that he took him with him. I think that's an amazing piece. Again, I really can't prove that. We go a little farther in this. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built a what? An ark. He built an ark. How old was he when he built the ark? How old? Well, he's bigger than that. It's about 600. That's 600. How long did it take him to build the ark? 100 years. I think about it, okay? You're 600 years old. God says build an ark. Okay? Let's just put it in our terms. You're 80 years old. God says build an ark. Is that what you really want to do today? There's a lot of faith in this whole process. If you think about it, Noah said, okay, I'm going to build an ark. Why? Because it's going to rain. Lord, when is it going to rain? 100 years from now. Really? Could you do something a little different here? Couldn't you actually, make the ark for me? Think about that. Could God make the ark? Yeah. Well, he made the world. He could certainly make the ark. He talked to Noah. He chose Noah. He said, Noah, hey, I'm going to destroy the earth in about 100 years. Would you please build this boat for me so I could put all the animals in it and you and your family and all that and just kind of ride the storm out? There's an amount of faith in this process that is beyond mine. Truly, truly beyond mine. I've been pastor for the First Southern, it's the Church on Pearl in the city of Santa Monica for 16 years. I've been pastor there for 16 years. I'm not even a quarter of the way done yet with how long it took Noah to build the ark. In 16 years, you judge how you're doing. I don't feel like I do very well. Honestly, don't feel like I do very well. Don't feel like I've hit the community that I wanted to hit. When I came to Santa Monica, I wanted to have a 10,000-member church. I wanted to be God's pearl in the city of Santa Monica. I wanted to save 70,000 people in the city. I have not accomplished that task. Hasn't happened. I want to put a caveat on it. Yet. Did Noah save anybody in his first year building the ark? Not a soul. Second year? Third year? Fourth year? Fifth year? I'm not going to 100, okay? Not going to happen. But you get the point. Through 99 years of building this boat, nothing happened. Nothing. There wasn't a rainstorm big enough to move the boat. In the 100th year, an event happened that destroyed the earth, and anyone who was on that boat survived. That's a moment. But you got to have a lot of faith to go through 99 years. 99 years. I'll be married 30 years this year. 30 years. It's a long time. A lot changes in 30 years. In 30 years, I've gone from jumping off bridges to having three grandchildren who I hope never jump off the bridge. But that's only 30 years. There's a power in faith that goes when things aren't exactly the way we think they're going to go. There's another side to this too, and I share this with these first few, okay? The devil really likes to chip away at faith. The devil chooses to chip away at faith. Some of you read the story of Noah and go, couldn't possibly happen. Couldn't possibly be 100 years. Couldn't possibly have been 600 years old. Nobody lives that long. Couldn't possibly have happened. The earth couldn't possibly have been formed by God. It couldn't happen. The devil will deal with that with you. The devil will say to you, you couldn't possibly do that. God didn't really say, did he? Be aware. When you're dealing with faith issues in your life, when you're dealing with your work with God, the devil is going to come to you and chip away at your faith. He's going to do it on a regular basis. He's going to do it in ways that are going to bother you and things that you can't understand. I am sure that Noah had a neighbor who came up to him and said, what are you doing? Are you a little crazy? Because for 99 years, he was crazy. I guarantee it. 99 years, he was crazy. There were people who thought that way about him. But he kept doing what God had asked him to do. And see, this walk of faith isn't done here. There is so much more. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham lived in a town. He lived in a place. He had a family. God said, go. He went. He went to where? A place he didn't know. A place that was supposed to be the inheritance for his people. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him with the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was looking forward to having the city, Jerusalem. He was looking forward to that place happening. Did it happen in his lifetime? Didn't happen in his lifetime. It didn't become a reality in his lifetime. He never lived in the city, Jerusalem. It didn't happen. He went by faith to begin to build a people that would be God's people in a place that would be God's place, in a place that we would see as Israel. But he didn't see it happen. Never, ever saw it happen. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Are you longing for a heavenly country? I'm telling you right now, I'm longing for a heavenly country. I'm so frustrated for what's going on within the context of our own country, within the context of our own world, within the context of all that's going on. I am so frustrated with all this. I would just like to have a heavenly country. I really would. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had received the promise, was put to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions with his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Moses, maybe closer to your own generation, closer to an understanding for yourself. Moses at 40 did something he shouldn't have done, had to go for 40 years in exile in the desert. After 40 years, he's 80. 80 years, where you go? Go back to what God had asked him to do to begin with. 40 years in the desert. Think about it. God called you to lead his people out of Egypt. God said, I want you to lead my people out. He does something he shouldn't do, then he ends up in the desert for 40 years. He comes back after that 40 years and he begins to lead the people out. He is 80 years old. It's not by his strength that he's supposed to lead. It's by God's strength that he is supposed to lead. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Question for y'all. Are you willing to do what God calls you to? Are you willing to do what God calls you to do? Are you willing, even if it's simple and mundane, or if it's incredibly outrageous, are you willing to do what God calls you to that might be completely outrageous? Now, jumping off a bridge was not what God called me to. You need to make sure that that call is true and sincere and an understanding. But God is calling you to do some things that will become amazing. Maybe not even if you see him. Can you trust God even if you do not see it finished? Can you trust that God is going to use you in a way that you may never see the end result? Are you willing to trust the Lord to do the thing that you're doing, even if you don't get to see the end result? Did Moses walk into the promised land? Never got to go. Did Abraham see the walls of Jerusalem? Never happened. Never happened. Faith for each of us is personal. It draws close to the Lord, to God. You have to look at it, see it, read it, understand it, then you have to follow it. I don't know how to tell you. Honestly, I can't. I can't tell you how faith is, because faith is deeply personal. It is between you and the Lord. God uses the smallest amongst us, the weakest amongst us, the ones that we couldn't possibly imagine amongst us, to do things that I will never, ever understand. Because God wants His strength to be shown through our weakness. This morning, God may be calling you to do some things. You don't need to tell anybody. Just go do that thing. He may be calling you to start something that you can't even think, I can't even figure out how it is. Just choose to follow. Do you believe? Bottom line, do you believe? That's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Father God, I ask you take these words. You draw them close in spirit and truth to the folks that are here. Father, you help them take faith steps. Lord, as they look at their life, as they look at the things that they could do, as they look at what you are asking them to do, Lord, that they would take those steps. Father, if it has to feel like jumping off a bridge, so be it. Lord, may we have that courage, that strength, and that enthusiasm to follow you in the direction you take us to. I pray that you instill our hearts with courage. In Jesus' name, amen. No greater love has a man than he would die for his friends. And as I look at Jesus and I look at that faith that Jesus has, that God that serves us, Jesus, going to the cross, quite a step. Quite a step.